السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ويل للمطففين الذين إذا اكتالوا على الناس يستوفون وإذا كالوهم أو وزنوهم يخسرون ألا يظن أولئك أنهم مبعوثون ليوم عظيم يوم يقوم الناس لرب العالمين. صدق الله العظيم. Respected brothers, last week due to a nikah we switched over to some significance of marriage in Islam and some of the rights of husbands over the wives and of the wives over the husband. But what we were discussing the Jummah before that was honesty in dealings, in trade, in transactions, and total abstinence from any engagement in haram. Total abstinence from anything that Allah and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is displeased with when it comes to our business transactions. To stay far, far away from anything that is declared as haram by Sharia, whether it is gambling, whether it is interest taking and giving, whether it is fraud, stealing or crime of any kind. I also read out a letter written by a 65-year-old non-Muslim white lady to a Muslim client who had deceived her by his outward garb and piety and taken her for a 50,000 rand ride. That letter had shocked many of our brothers, and indeed if it did not shock, then there is something wrong with our iman. But the purpose of these talks is not only to get a little bit of shock and then get back to our old style of life. The purpose is to remedy the situation, to make amends, to make tawbah and istighfar from the sin that we have already committed, and to try and fulfill the rights of those whom we have harmed. If it means monies that were taken illegally in a haram way, then to refund, to return those monies. Not just making tawbah istighfar in the masjid and believing that everything is forgiven and maaf. So that was the purpose. Now let us go on with that same subject today. This ayat came to mind in which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, وَيْلٌ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ. Woe to those who deal in fraud. Now here the word Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala uses is wail. It is used to express sadness and sorrow. That how sad it is, what a sorrowful thing it is, what a pitiable thing it is, that these people are dealing in fraud. And it also means that there's going to be affliction, there's going to be calamities, there's going to be adversities for this person who is dealing in fraud. Destruction, adversity, calamity, affliction, all these meanings can be attributed to this word wail. Meaning that the person who is dealing in fraud, in whichever way he is dealing in fraud, then he must not think that he has escaped Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's sight and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's might. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is well aware of what this person has done. So therefore in his life, he is definitely going to face adversities, he is going to face affliction, severe calamities, and disaster. In that same business of his, or in other aspects of his life, because that is the promise of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and Allah is one who does not go against his promise. Unless, of course, this person makes sincere tawbah, then the doors of Allah are open, he is merciful, he is forgiving, he is kind, and he is willing to forgive. But if the person does not do that, then Allah ta'ala says, وَيْلٌ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا اكْتَالُوا عَلَى النَّاسِ يَسْتَوْفُونَ. Who are these people that must prepare themselves for afflictions? Who are those people that must prepare themselves for disasters in their lives, or in their family's lives, or in their business life? Who are those people that must await some kind of azab of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala coming upon them? They are those, الَّذِينَ إِذَا اكْتَالُوا عَلَى النَّاسِ يَسْتَوْفُونَ, that they, when they have to receive from someone else by weight or measure, then they exact full measure. That means when this person is receiving from a client, or when he is receiving from a merchant, from a wholesaler, from a retailer, or from anyone else, whoever is supplying him, then at that time this person exacts full measure. He does not allow even an inch to be short. This person wants full measure. He wants the best quality. He wants exactly as ordered. He does not want to receive anything short measured. So when he is receiving, then at that time the person is demanding full measure. But when he is giving, الَّذِينَ إِذَا اكْتَالُوا عَلَى النَّاسِ يَسْتَوْفُونَ وَإِذَا كَالُوهُمْ أَوْ وَزَنُوهُمْ يُخْسِرُونَ. But when he has to give by weight and measure, then he gives short. When he is giving, then at that time he is not concerned. In fact, many a times he purposely gives short measure. He weighs less or he measures less. This is when he is giving. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, woe unto them, that such people, they are going to be facing different kinds of problems. Allah ta'ala is saying that these people, they must wait. They are going to get afflictions in their lives. They're going to get disaster in their business. They're going to face adversities in their businesses or in their other aspects of life. So when they are receiving, then they want full measure. And when they are giving, they are giving short. الَّذِينَ إِذَا اكْتَالُوا عَلَى النَّاسِ يَسْتَوْفُونَ وَإِذَا كَالُوهُمْ أَوْ وَزَنُوهُمْ يُخْسِرُونَ. But what is really after that, if only a person is a believer in Allah Ta'ala, and he is a believer in the Day of Judgment, then it should restrain him from anything that is fraudulent, that is haram, whatever falls under the category of cheating and deceiving, then the person, this ayat is sufficient for him. When Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says out of warning, أَلَا يَظُنُّ أُولَٰئِكَ أَنَّهُمْ مَبْعُوثُونَ لِيَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ النَّاسُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. I'm not giving you now a translation. I'm giving you a meaning of this ayat. That Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is warning these people that are dealing in fraud, that are cheating people. Don't they believe in Allah? Don't they have that yaqeen and that faith that there is a day of judgment on which day they are going to be raised? There is a hereafter on which they are going to be raised, and each and every one will be before Allah, and each and every one is accountable for his actions and deeds. And that is the world in which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is going to mete out full punishment or full reward. In this world, Allah ta'ala does not give full punishment or full reward. It is not a world in which full punishment or reward can really be meted. Because if the sun shines, then it shines over the heads of the sinners. It shines over the heads of those who are fasiq, fajir, kuffar, mushrikeen, all kinds of people. The waters of the ocean, the ships of the believers and disbelievers, they all will ply on those waters. It's not that if a disbeliever puts his boat onto that water, because he disbelieves in Allah, and he doesn't believe that it is Allah who created the waters of the ocean, so those waters of the ocean will not allow his boat to ply. The waters of the ocean, the waters of the rivers and lakes, the rain water, the sun, the moon, the stars, the wind. Now all these things in this world, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala allows everyone to benefit. In fact, sometimes those who disbelieve, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives them much, much more than those who believe. Because there are some people who do charitable acts. There are people who are kind, who are generous, who are hospitable, but they do not believe in Allah. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives them plentiful in this world. Let them enjoy the ni'mats because they have done some good deeds and there's nothing for them in the hereafter. For the believers, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sometimes gives them in this world, sometimes He keeps it for the hereafter, totally. So therefore, this is not something that distinguishes a good person from a bad person, that how much of wealth he has, or how much of degrees he has, or how much of luxury cars he has. That is not something that distinguishes. That Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives to the good and the bad. So on that day of judgment, when there's going to be full punishment or full reward, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, don't these people believe in that? There is a day that is going to come, on which day each and every one is going to stand before Allah. And on that day Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will then mete out justice. So if a person has got belief in this day, when he's going to stand before his Rabbul Alameen, and Rabb Allah ta'ala uses, that death is that Allah who nurtured you. He is the one who sustained you. He is the one who provided for you in your mother's stomach. He is the one who provided for you after birth. He is the one who supplied you with eyes, with ears, with tongue, with hands, with feet. No father or mother was able to do anything of this nature. One inspector of schools in India, he walked into one school. He was an atheist, he disbelieved in Allah Ta'ala. So he said that, what proof do you have that Allah Ta'ala exists? And he was asking pupils of standard 1 and 2 level. So the Muslim teacher, he said that this is not a question that you ask these pupils, because it is not part of the syllabus, and you walked in here to do your duty, so don't ask them this question. So he said, no, I want to know, because this person had one eye. So he said, no, I want to know from them, because I believe that it is our parents who supplied us with eyes, with ears, with everything else. So the teacher, who had the sohbat and the company of the Ahlullah, then he said, let me reply. You claim that it is your parents who supplied you with eyes, with ears, with tongue, and with your body. And I say that it is Allah. So what is your proof? So this atheist inspector, he said, that if you say that it is Allah, then tell your Allah to replace my other eye. I can only see with one eye. So tell your Allah, if He is the one that provided it, then tell Him that He must make my other eye also right. I must be able to see with my other eye. So this teacher also, who had the sohbat of the Ahlullah, he said, all right, I will convey your request to Allah. So he looked up towards the heavens, and then he came back. And then he said, I asked Allah. But my Allah replied, I would have given him the other eye. But he says that his parents provided him with the sight. So tell him to tell his mother to give him the other eye too. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is the one who provided us with all these things. Now he is saying, woe to those people that are dealing in fraud. When they are receiving, then they are receiving by full measure, and when they are giving short. Now this does not just stop at measuring some material, or just measuring some other wood and timber. It does not stop at that. It does not stop at just weighing some flour or some onions and potatoes. It goes very, very far. That in all our dealings, we have to keep this ayat of the Quran Sharif in front of us. That when we are receiving, what are we demanding? We are demanding full measure. The teacher is demanding full measure from the pupils. The pupils are demanding full measure from the teachers. The employer is demanding full measure from his employees. And the employees are demanding full measure from the employer. The parents are demanding full measure from the children. And the children are demanding full measure from the parents. The wives are demanding full measure from the husbands. And the husbands are demanding full measure from the wives. And it can go on like that. But then we have to look at the other side of the coin, that how much are we giving in return? When the person is demanding full measure, is he also giving in return full measure? Or is he dealing also in fraud? وَيْلٌ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ. Does he also fall under this ayat? Because Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, who was the mufassir of the highest caliber, he has declared that here, even in your salat, in your zakat, in your hajj, in your fasting, if you have to give short measure, then that falls under that same warning of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Shiddatul azab yawma izin, for whom there will be shiddat and severe azab on the day of qiyamah. For that person who gave short measure in his salat, that means he did not make his salat as it should have been made. He was merely racing, he was chasing, he was making the kind of salat which I always say, tu jame'aun salat, that just want to get over it, because Allah Ta'ala made salat first 5 times a day, so I have to make it, so therefore he just makes it. There's no sukoon in his ruku, there's no sukoon in his sujood, there's no khushu, no khuzu, nothing of any kind. It is just a mechanical namaz. Although he should not even give up that namaz, he should try and improve it. But that kind of salat does not give that person anything in return. In fact, according to the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, it is thrown back at that person like a dirty rag, and say that, that may Allah Ta'ala destroy you just as you destroyed me. Because this is just a joke, that the person is standing before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala as if he is standing on a football ground. Or he is practicing, or he is doing some drill where he is told up, down, and that is what he is doing. He sometimes doesn't even think of Allah Ta'ala in the entire salat. So Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that this person also falls in the same category. The same with roza, with zakat, with hajj, but there's no time to discuss that. So here the person is demanding, the husband is demanding, the wife is demanding, the children are demanding, everybody is demanding full measure. But when it comes to giving in return full measure, then they are not fulfilling their duty. So they also fall under the same category. Those who are committing fraud, they too, and these people also. So therefore Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has warned, and the Quran Sharif has warned us here, that we should fear Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, we should be careful that we have to answer Allah ta'ala on the day of judgment. In this world, if a person is not caught, then he thinks that I can do whatever I like. So Allah Ta'ala is warning us that it is not only somebody seeing you stealing, it is not only somebody seeing you committing fraud, then you must abstain and you must restrain. You must have that yaqeen that my Allah is watching me. Meri nazar pe unki nazar paasba rahi, kya qiyamat hai ki is haqeeqat se bekhabar the hum. That Allah Ta'ala's nazar was over us. And whenever shaitan tempts us to commit that sin, or indulge in that crime, indulge in fraud, to cheat someone, or to take interest money, or to go and gamble, or to commit adultery or fornication, anything of that nature, then at that time that person must say, this share of my Hazrat Maulana Hakim Mohd Akhtar Sahab Damat Barakatuhum, hum aisi lazzaton ko qabil-e lanat samajhte hai, ke jisse dosto Rab mera naraz hota hai. What is the benefit of such kind of enjoyment and pleasure with which Allah has become displeased? For who can challenge Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's might? Brothers, every day in front of our eyes we are seeing what is happening. One person tells me, may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give that child cure from his ailment and from his sickness. But the person tells me that my son was a black belt. He had such health and such fitness. But just in 1 month's time, he does not know what has happened, that person has melted down, and now I can just, if I touch him, he will fall. Brothers, every day before our eyes, people are suddenly becoming paralyzed. Suddenly they are being taken away from this world. So there is another world that is to come. And this is the distinguishing feature and quality of a Muslim, that he believes in an Allah. He believes in a day of judgment. He believes in life after death. And that is the thing that restrains him from haram, not if people are seeing or not seeing. He believes that Allah is watching, so therefore I cannot indulge in this type of sin. And then the same thing applies, especially those people who are working. There's always a demand. We want an increase in wages. There will be a march past, there will be protest marches. Why? Because we want increase in salaries. We want more facilities. We want perks. We want this, we want that. And government departments, the employees are marching. But then when it comes to giving in return, then are they fulfilling their duty? The same when it comes to the employers, that when they are extracting work out of the employees, they want full measure. But when it comes to payment of salaries or the commissions that they are entitled to have earned, then they make them sing for days and days and sometimes months. So everybody seems to be caught up in this web. There was a time when in Darul Uloom Deoband, one ustad, and not only he, many others, if a visitor had to come during the hours of teaching, then immediately they used to look at their watches. If that visitor sat for 2 minutes, 5 minutes or 10 minutes, and over the period of 1 month, they indulged in any of their personal work for say an hour or two, then they would have sent in a request that kindly deduct from my salary so much because I was not entitled to it. Because they had this ayat before them all the time. Today how many people are complaining that we have got telephones in our businesses which are supposed to be for business work, to contact our clients or to deal with our business. But our staff are using our telephones for their own personal conversations, and our telephone bills are going very, very high. And who is indulging in all these type of things? Muslims who believe in Allah, who believe in the Day of Judgment, who believe in the Akhirat. And we do not even think that this is also a form of fraud. If a person has been employed for 8 hours of the day, or 6 hours, whatever time he has been employed for, then during that period of time, it is haram for that person to do any other personal work, unless he gets the permission of the owner, or the manager, or the director. And on the other hand, Allah Ta'ala also orders those who are demanding work, who are demanding work from their employees, that they want the maximum, they want full measure, that they too must go out of their way to see that their rights are fulfilled. That before their sweat dries, you should pay them. You should not demand from them more than what you're supposed to. Now, it's both ways. The husbands are also demanding. They will lie on their back and they will say, today I want mutton curry and rice. Today I want fish curry and this. And today I want biryani and kebabs. Everything they are demanding. But they do not see whether those wives are sick and ailing. There's no justice. They are only demanding justice, and they are demanding the rights all the time from the wives. But they do not see that those same women, they are washing the clothes, they are ironing, they are sweeping the house, they are looking after the children, they are clothing them and sending them to school, and we are just sitting and demanding. There's no doubt that there are rights, but what I'm trying to tell you that these are things that our eyes do not fall on, and these are the teachings of Sharia. That just as we are demanding from them our rights, then did we also fulfill their rights? If we are not going to fulfill their rights, then that is injustice also. And if they are not going to fulfill our rights, that's injustice on their part. They will be questioned too. So therefore, my brother's life is running out. This is another subject which we can discuss for hours and hours, but the time is so short that before we can even start discussing the topic, the time expires. But even if you just get this much message for the Jummah occasion, that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala warns in this ayat, وَيْلٌ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا اكْتَالُوا عَلَى النَّاسِ يَسْتَوْفُونَ وَإِذَا كَالُوهُمْ أَوْ وَزَنُوهُمْ يُخْسِرُونَ. Woe to those people who are dealing in fraud, that when they are receiving, then they demand full measure, and when they have to give, then they give short measure. So in all activities of life, every person must look into his own life, that what is the demand upon me of Sharia? I have to fulfill my duty. If the other person fulfills it, alhamdulillah. If he does not fulfill it, and he is obligated to you, then you have the right to demand in the proper way. But with others, if they fulfill it, alhamdulillah. If they do not fulfill it, that is between them and Allah. But as far as we are concerned, if we are not going to fulfill it, then those warnings, that wail, that adversity in the person's life, calamities, disasters. And we must not only look at wealth and things like that, because a person can be blessed with plentiful of that. I just mentioned earlier that wealth is not a distinguishing feature of a Muslim. Allah Ta'ala can give wealth plentiful to a good Muslim, and He can also keep a very good Muslim completely bankrupt and completely poor. And Allah Ta'ala can also, on the other hand, give plentiful of wealth to a non-Muslim or a person who disbelieves in Allah Ta'ala, and at the same time make that person also very poor. That is not something that it differentiates. Something that differentiates us is our transactions, our dealings with the people, our social life, our etiquettes, our moral behavior, our conduct, our honesty, our truthfulness, our sincerity, our charity, our nobility, our cheerfulness and smiling attitude with our parents, with our family members, with our children. All these things are part of Islamic teachings. And because we have gone far away from these Islamic teachings, no home is peaceful on earth today. No home. So if we want peace in our lives, then there is no other way. We keep repeating this because there is no other way. the closer we will come to deen and sharia, and we will introduce it to our families also, the sooner we will have peace in our lives and in our homes and in our society. If not, when the azab of Allah Ta'ala comes, the aam azab, the general azab, then it does not differentiate between the good and bad. If flood waters come, they're not going to go round and round the houses of those people that were making namaz and those who were pious and righteous. If they did not do their duty, then they too will be caught up in the azab. Or Allah Ta'ala will catch them in that azab here, but in the hereafter He will reward them for the sabr. But generally those people who are indulging in these type of fraudulent activities, Allah Ta'ala makes their life miserable in this world and in the akhirah. Because what kind of a life is that when people are pointing fingers, that man he committed fraud, that person he did me down for so much. I will conclude, one person said that I was done down for 60,000 rands or 70,000 rands. And thereafter that same person invited me to walima of his son. So he tells me, he says, Maulana, whilst I was having the biryani, I said quite loud and clearly, Bhaiyo khub khajo, kaki apna chpaya chhe. Now is that respect of that person? He says, eat well, it's our money, don't worry. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the hidayat and give us the understanding that peace, happiness, respect and honor lies in obeying Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All these fraudulent activities and all this cheating and all these lies and all these false qasams and oaths, they're neither going to help us in this world nor in the hereafter. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.